and everyone in their respective places. Amen. I just thank God for this time that he has used me again to bring a word.
Yes, Lord.
I thank God for the title of the word that he gave has given me is Desperate for Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Desperate for Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to be coming from the book of Mark, the 5th chapter, verses 21 through 43. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so for some, this text may be familiar to you. You can stay seated. I'm not quite ready to read the word, but if you feel led to stand, you can. But for some, this text may be familiar to you when you go to those scriptures. For some, this text may be your first time hearing. For me, this text was right on time.
Amen.
A reminder that I'm in desperate need of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. We tend to find ourselves in what we would consider desperate circumstances. And sometimes it seems difficult to know where to go from rock bottom. Sometimes we think we can do things and figure things out on our own. We go through things in our lives thinking things and people besides God can fill the void in our lives. Amen. Only to trust in those things and people, and they leave us worse than where we started. Amen. Only to trust in those things and people that leave us worse than where we started. We end up drifting further away from Jesus and we do not realize that we are in desperate need of him. Amen. When we think of the word desperate, it kind of gives off a negative connotation. We have been told that desperation is a bad thing. No one wants to be desperate for anything, desperate for a man, desperate for a job, desperate for money. No one wants to feel desperate for anything. And because we listen to the world, we end up still becoming desperate and thirsty for the things of the world instead of God. Desperate can be defined as having an urgent need or desire. Amen. I learned that being in the world and of the world are two different things. That what the world says is actually the opposite of what God says. So the world says, so in our desperation for Jesus, amen, that being desperate is actually a good thing when we're desperate for God. Amen. That in our desperation for Jesus, we see an urgent need for him to be a part of our lives. We see our dependence on him and the desire to be in relationship with him. We need him. We were in need of him as soon as Eve ate from the forbidden tree and became dependent of God. From that point, we all have fallen short of the glory of God and is in desperate need of him. So as we go in these scriptures, we will see two people and their approach to Jesus because they realized that they were in desperate need of him. And he is the only one that could meet their need. So I want us to observe in these scriptures what it looks like to be in desperate need for Jesus. And as we go through these scriptures, I want you to ask yourself, are you in desperate need of Jesus? Are you desperate for Jesus? Amen. And I'm going to go one more time in prayer for myself. Father God, I come to you, Lord God, just thanking you and praising you just for this day, Lord God. I just thank you, Lord God, for just using me as you see fit, Lord God. Father God, as I decrease, you increase in me, Lord God. When I open my mouth, Lord God, it is you that they hear, Lord God. Father God, I ask, Lord God, that you just allow your spirit to fall, Lord God. Holy Spirit, have your way, Lord God.
Yes.
Move me out of the way, Lord God, in my weakness, Lord God. In your strength, I am made strong. So, Father God, right now I ask, Lord God, that you use me, Lord God, in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I am going to be reading the scriptures first, and you all can stay seated for the reading. So there's about 22 verses that I'm going to be reading. And as we go through these verses, I am going to be making observation of what it looked like for these two people to be in desperate need of Jesus. And so when we started the 21st verse, it says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was at the lake, while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Ignore what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler. Don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha Koum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and told them to give her something to eat. Again, my title is Desperate for Jesus. So as reading those scriptures, the first observation that we can make in regards to how these two people approached Jesus was the fact that they recognized that they were in need of Jesus. Amen. So in this text, we meet Jairus and a woman who is known by her condition. Jairus' daughter is dying, and the woman has been subject to bleeding for many years. And so just a little background information about both of the people that we just read about is that Jairus, the word says that Jairus is a synagogue leader. He is responsible for supervising worship, running the weekly school, and caring for buildings. During those times, many leaders had close ties with the Pharisees. So if you know anything about the Pharisees, they did not support Jesus. And at any point, they would try to trip him up. Mm-hmm. Amen. And they would always try to catch Jesus up. And we see that Jairus recognizes his need for Jesus, that he's willing to cast aside his community policy, his religious position, and his personal pride and efforts to see the true power of God. Amen. And then as we begin to talk about Jairus, there's an unexpected interruption. So there's like in these two stories, it's like a sandwich. We start off with Jairus, and then we talk, and then it is interrupted about the bleeding woman. And then it ends with Jairus' story again. And so then there's an unexpected interruption, and the bleeding woman makes her way on the scene. She has been hemorrhaging for 12 years. The text tells us that she suffered a great deal. Amen. And during those times, a woman having a discharge for many days was considered ritually unclean. Amen. So anything or anyone she touches was considered unclean. Because of her condition, she was socially, spiritually separated from her community. So because she was bleeding, she could not be in the same space. She could not worship. So basically, there was a separation between her and her community. Amen. She has become an outcast. And so we can only imagine the feelings of an outcast, what comes with it when you're separated from your community. So which has led her to the feelings of isolation, loneliness, rejection, and desperation. We read in the text that she has used all of her resources to be cured, but only for her situation to get worse than better. Amen. That sounds like us, that we run to everything and everybody to fill the void but Jesus. Amen. That we use sex and drinking and smoking and food and money or shopping or whatever we do to fill the void of Jesus, social media, whatever it is, instead of running to Jesus. But those are just external factors. We see those things that just mask only the feeling, but yet to know that we still have to encounter that need for Jesus. Amen. That we see that money eventually runs out, so I still got to come face to face. Sex eventually does not always satisfy, so I still have to come face to face with the need that I have for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Their sufferings have drove them to seek Jesus. There are circumstances and sufferings that happen in our lives so that we can see the need of Jesus. Amen. And so if those sufferings did not take place, then we would feel like that we are our own Savior. We would, if the heartbreak didn't take place, if the losing of a job didn't take place, if the losing of a parent or just any circumstance or suffering didn't take place in our lives, we would feel like we were independent of God and that we did not need Him. So those sufferings reminds us that we stand in the need of Jesus. Hallelujah. We see their human weakness. They are in desperate need of a touch from Jesus. They realize that He is the only hope. I can't imagine that Jairus has come to realize that sooner than later that he will be separated from his daughter. Death was going to separate him and his daughter. So the desperation that Jairus felt to have Jesus to come to his home, because he did not want to feel the separation. Amen. And then we have the bleeding woman who has endured the separation of socially and spiritually for 12 years. They have learned that the things of Jesus and realized their need for Him. Have you realized your need for Jesus? Have you realized your need for Jesus? That there is nothing you can do without Him. That your sin has caused you to be separated from God and out of His will. And that by being outside of the will, we are rejecting the best life that is being offered to us just for a little self-gratification, which only leads to a short-term satisfaction, but a long-term separation, which eventually leads to death. Amen? Amen. Observation number one, they recognize that they stood in need of Him. So on today, do you stand in need? Do you recognize your need for Jesus? Amen. You came here for a reason. You just didn't come just to fill a seat. You came in because you wanted to know more about Jesus. You wanted to learn more about Jesus. Some came in with a need that they want God to meet them where they are to fulfill that need. Observation number two is that you can't let anything stop you from getting to Jesus. So after you recognize the need for Him, then you have to also know that things are going to come in your way. Obstacles are going to come in your way that's going to try to stop you from getting to Jesus. The text shares with us that they both made their way through the crowd. So at the beginning of the text, we talk about that as soon as Jesus crossed back over to the sea, crowds were waiting. Jairus was there. So I can only imagine that he pushed through the crowds to meet Jesus. And then later on in the text, as we read, it talks about the woman with the issue of blood, how she pressed her way through the crowds. The crowds were just people standing, waiting to see what Jesus was going to do. Are you standing? Are you waiting to see what he's going to do? Are you seeking and pushing past so you can meet him where he is, so you can get a touch from Jesus? Amen. They were in the way. At times we see crowds and it leads us to go in the opposite direction. I know, at least for me, if it's crowded, you know, I don't want to go through that. Let me go in the opposite direction, because we don't want to push our way through to get where we're going. At times we can view crowds as obstacles and we just don't have the strength or the power to push through. Like, I just don't want to push through. I don't have the strength. I don't want to have to go through the hustle and bustle of pushing through a crowd. Amen. And so, but obstacles should remind us that we can't do it on our own, that your own strength won't carry you, that we need the strength of Jesus. So are you desperate enough for Jesus on today that you're willing to push past anything, that you're willing to push past the pain from your childhood, that you're willing to push past the trauma, that you're willing to push past the suffering, the doubts, the what ifs, the rejection, the heartbreak? For me, am I willing to push past my recent divorce? Y'all just don't know that thing can become like an obstacle that I just don't want to fight. Like, I just would rather just sit in my mess. I would just rather sit in my feelings, but am I willing? So this word is not only for you, but it was to me first. Am I desperate enough for Jesus that I'm willing to push past my divorce and what I've been through and what people have said and what people gonna say in order to get a touch from Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Are you willing to push past the grief, the disappointment, the brokenness, the abuse, the naysayers, the gossipers, to make your way to Jesus? To know that on the other side of your sufferings are the comforts of Jesus.
Amen.
To know that what is trying to stand in the way no longer can keep you separated.
Amen.
Are you willing to push past everything that is trying to keep you separated from Jesus? I'm so grateful that God has led me to this narrative, because like I mentioned before, over the past couple of weeks, I've just seen crowds and I just wanted to go the other way. I've seen obstacles in the way and I just don't want to fight. I would rather sit sunken in my mess. Amen. I am human. I'll be in my flesh. And I would rather sit in my mess. And I just thank God for just this word and bringing, allow me to cross paths with this narrative to show that these two people were willing, like they recognized a need for Jesus, and they were willing to not let anything stand in the way. They were so desperate. They were so desperate for a touch. They were so desperate for God to come and meet their needs. And so it had me to check myself. Like I see myself in this scripture. I see myself like, that's Tony. That ain't been you. You ain't been desperate to push through the crowds. You just rather not. You just rather go in the opposite direction because you don't want to deal with it. You just rather stay in your mess because I don't feel like fighting today. I don't feel like I let the thoughts take over. I don't feel like it. But God is showing me, he's encouraging me in his word, that when I push past the crowds, when I push past the obstacles, there is comfort on the other side. When the woman with the issue of blood pushed past the crowd, it showed you that she was healed. When Jairus pushed past the crowds, he was met with Jesus. And Jesus' reply said, I'll go with you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So God, I thank you. For that observation number three is that you have to humble yourself. So not only do I see a need, that I recognize that I need Jesus, I've also recognized that I can't let anything get in the way from me seeking Jesus. And I've also observed during these scriptures that I have to humble myself. When you read in the scriptures tell us that they both fell to their feet. They both fell to their feet on their face before Jesus. This posture is a posture of worship that shows their dependence on him. That shows the dependence on him. So have you humbled yourself enough to know, to say that, God, I am dependent on you and you alone. I'm not dependent on what people say. I'm not dependent on what it looks like. I'm dependent on your word and your word alone. Are you... Time and time again, we navigate as if we do not need Jesus. The act shows, the act of them falling on their face shows how their heart has responded to God. How is your heart on today in this response to God? Amen. And so during this time, like, my prayer is that, Lord, I pray that I don't have a stony heart, that my heart continues to be flesh, because I want to continue to receive what you have for me. Because if we have a heart of stone, nothing can penetrate. Nothing can go. The word is just, it just falls on dead ground. Amen. Amen. So a heart of repentance. You see that they have a heart of repentance where they fall, that at any point, if they doubted God, that they were able to fall on their face and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for the doubt. Forgive me for when the times that I didn't trust you. Forgive me when I went the other way, and when you told me to go right, I went left. Amen. Forgive me for all those things, because I can only imagine this woman with 12 years of bleeding. I can only imagine, I know for me, 12 years of bleeding, that probably would have been 12 years of complaining. Like, God, why me? Why do I have to suffer? Why do I have to? Because you have to understand, during that time, it separated her from everyone. It separated her. She couldn't have a husband. And if she did, he probably divorced her at this point. She couldn't go in and worship in the synagogues, because if she sat on the seat, it was unclean. If she laid in the bed, it was unclean. If she touched anyone, it was unclean. Amen. So we can see that I can imagine that the doubt that she had, but because she fell on her face and she humbled herself to say, God, please forgive me. God, please forgive me when I doubted you, when I felt as if that you wasn't going to come through for me. When I felt that this pain was going to take me out, but you was only using this pain to draw me closer to you. Mm-hmm. Amen. So with the woman, the issue of blood, her pain, her suffering drew her closer to God. That she seen that she was in desperate need. Jairus, with his daughter dying, drew him closer to God, showing that he stood in need of Jesus. Amen. Observation number 4. You have to make your petition known that you need him. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and by petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jairus fell at Jesus' feet and petitioning with him, saying, please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. The bleeding woman made her petition known by thinking, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. You have to let God know that you are in need of him. At times we can feel like we are sufficient enough to do the things within ourselves. Therefore, we are not as needy as we should be. We should be needy for God.
Amen.
We should be needy. The world says you shouldn't be needy, but you should be needy for God in each and every part of your life. Amen. We do not pray without ceasing and make our petitions known, because pride makes us feel that we can do things on our own. We see in the scriptures how both Jairus and the woman stood in need of Jesus, that they pushed past the pride, and their help was only going to come from Jesus. It is the peace that surpasses all understanding that is received whether our outside conditions change or not. So it's the peace that if she wasn't healed from the bleeding, but just to be in a relationship with God gives you peace and peace alone.
Amen.
Amen. If he did not heal his daughter, just to know that being in a relationship with God, that I sought God and he was there and I'm in relationship with him, is enough. Amen. Amen. It is peace that surpasses all understanding that is received whether our outside circumstances change or not. Just to be in relationship with Jesus is good enough. Because the good news is that when we are in relationship, then we have access to him. And if we have access to him, then we have access to his power. Then we have access to his healing, and we have access to eternal life.
Amen.
That no matter if healing does not take place on this side of heaven, that I know that I'm still here when I get to see Jesus. We have to recognize as human beings there will always be a need for God.
Amen.
We have to recognize that we will always be in need for God. And I often think about the times this past week I just had to ask God for forgiveness, because even just the simple things that I've been getting out of bed and not saying, God, I thank you. Not saying, God, I thank you for just waking me up this morning, because it is you that woke me up. Nothing that I did that woke me up. And I found myself not just praying like I used to. And I asked God for forgiveness for that, because Lord, I stand in need of. So if I'm not praying to you, obviously I'm moving around as if I can handle stuff on my own.
Right.
And that we cannot do it, that we cannot go throughout this world and feel like that we can make any and every decision can be made without Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Observation number 5. Your faith will put you in relationship with God. It is our faith that heals us. We have to put our faith in the one who has the power to heal. Hebrews 11 says that faith is what pleases God. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who seek him earnestly. We see that they both wanted a touch from Jesus. Because if you go back into the scripture, Jairus says that if you just come and touch my daughter. We go back in the scripture and the woman with the issue of blood says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And so we see that they both wanted a touch, but the power lied in their faith. So yes, they wanted a touch, but it was the faith that they had that brought about the healing. That I know, God, I know, Jesus, that I've been hearing all the stuff that you've been doing, that you've been healing people, that you've been casting out demons. So I know that if you can do it for them, you can do it for me. Amen. It is the believing without seeing. Hallelujah. It is the I'm going to trust you with my life regardless of what life looks like and what life feels like. It is I'm going to suffer with you instead of without you. It's the external circumstances suffering that leads us to Jesus. But the root of it is that he wants to heal us on the inside. So what we see about the issue with that was an external. That was what we seen. But he wanted what in actuality, Jesus wanted to have a relationship. That external thing brought about a relationship between her and Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that it was the external of Jairus' daughter dying. But because he went and seek God, it brought about a relationship. And that's what God wants. He wants a relationship. Because when he has a relationship with you, that he can begin to start fixing those things on the inside. And when he fixes those things on the inside, they will show up on the outside.
Amen.
Amen. The good news is that from the beginning, God wanted to be in relationship with us from the very beginning. He sent Jesus to walk a life without sin, to show what it looks like to be dependent upon the Father. How Jesus' life puts us back in relationship with him. That we no longer have to identify with our circumstances, but he has made it known that we are his sons and daughters. And so during the fast, I thank God for the walk. And one of the questions, I don't know if it was a question, but Pastor Jay and I was talking and he asked, I can't even remember the question that he asked, but I just told him that right now I stand in need of God to, like, I need God to be a father to me. And I think I may have mentioned this before, but, you know, he's been a provider. He's been, you know, all the other things, but I need in this season, and I need God to be a father to me. And the reason why, and I just been in desperate need of that, because like I said, Jesus, I've seen Jesus as being a provider. I've seen Jesus as being a healer, but I'm like, Jesus, I need to see you. God, I need to see you as a father. Because when I got married, like 2 months later, my father passed away. And up until that point, I didn't see Jesus as a father because I had my father here on earth. So I didn't see that. And so 2 months after I got married, my father passed away. And then after that, I just went through a, I'm not going to say a dark season because God is good, that light was still shone upon my life. But I just went through a season where I just needed my daddy. Mm-hmm. I just needed my daddy to show up. I just needed my daddy to hug me. I just needed my daddy to tell me that it was okay. And over the past year and a half, maybe 2 years, like, I'm still like, God, I need you as a father. And God is so great. God is so gracious that night when I went home, I just opened up my Bible and he led me to Mark, the 5th chapter. And when I read Mark, the 5th chapter, if you go back into the verse, he says to the woman with the issue of blood, daughter, your faith has healed you. And so in that moment, I felt like God gave me exactly what I had been wanting from him. Like, he told me that I was his daughter. Like, despite of whatever that I had been going through, despite of whatever I had been feeling, like, he showed me that I was his daughter.
Amen.
And
Amen.
He showed me that he was my father. Mm-hmm. Because we see that in order for him to call her a daughter, he had to be the father.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thank God for just giving me that revelation. I thank God for comforting me with his scripture for him to show me that I am his daughter. So I know I no longer have my earthly father, but that he is my father. That he can provide he can provide all of my needs. That he can comfort me just like a father does. That he can heal me. That he can, you know, he can see about me. That he can love me just like my father here on earth would have loved me. So I'm grateful for this text, and I'm grateful for the observations that God has shown me. And so what I don't want us to do is I don't want us to be Christians who no longer see the need to be desperate for Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I don't want us to come to church or even outside of church and feel like you can walk this thing by yourself.
Amen.
Amen. I know that each of us came to church today because we stood in need of something. If it's just a word or just to hear something from God, that I want us to operate in our lives as we are desperate for God. We are desperate for Jesus. We are desperate for a touch. I don't want us to be content in our laziness. I want us to be able to push past all the obstacles that we may face, all the obstacles, all the pain, all the hurt, all whatever anyone has to say. I want us to be able to push past it so we can seek, so we can lay at God's feet and be humble enough to say, God, I stand in need of you.
Amen.
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 That being outside of God's will is dangerous. You yes. are. Being outside of God's will. So when you feel like you can operate on your own, you are outside of God's will. And that if we're not desperate to seek God, then we're lost. We stand in need of Jesus at all times. At all times, in every relationship, at every job, wherever you go, you stand in need. We are in desperate need of Jesus. And so on today, I want you all to see that those scriptures, and I want you all to see how their approach was to be touched by God, to be desperate for God, to even recognize that you stand in need of something. We all stand in need. And to recognize that our sin will cause us to be separate from God. And so with the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus, they did not want to be separated. Death was separating Jairus and his daughter. The issue of blood, the bleeding was separated the woman from her community. And we don't have to be separated from God on today. That is the reason he sent Jesus. So we no longer have to be separated. But your sin will cause you to be separated. And the word says that the wages of sin is death. So on today, I want you to know that we all stand in need. That we are need to be desperate each and every day, desperate for God to come in our lives and do something, make us new, take something out, pour something in. We stand in desperate need. And a lot of times I don't want us to get comfortable with being able to get up and feeling like, okay, I can go, I can move, even take a step out the bed by myself. take a step out the bed by myself. So I just thank God just for his word. Yes. I just thank God for just who he is. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.